I'm Dr. Laura.
And I'm Ashley. And together, we're bringing you the Well Women Podcast.
The Well Women Podcast was created out of my passion for education and empowering women. I realized my patients were asking the same types of questions, but they weren't able to find answers. As I focused my naturopathic practice on treating period problems and balancing hormones, I wanted to share knowledge, tools, and actionable steps that women could take each week to change their life.
I'm a mental health coach and advocate, and I'm passionate about supporting people to be seen, be heard, and be well. I practice from a future focus and strength-based approach, which means that I believe you have all the answers inside of you. I just want to stand with you on your journey. I believe not everyone deserves to hear your story, but I really want to earn that right.
We hope that this podcast is able to teach you something, entertain, and help you feel a little less alone in this crazy world. Thanks for joining us.
And let's dive in.
Hello. Today, we are going to talk about something that, well, obviously just came up in the news. The article I'm going to talk about today is revolving around endocrine disruptors and sperm quality. So this is relevant in all of my fertility patients, but anybody who wants to get pregnant. I thought this topic was really pertinent, so I want to kind of deep dive on that. The study itself talked about how endocrine disruptors actually were able to impact sperm quality, but this is not like a man having exposure and having his sperm impact or sperm quality impacted. This is a woman in her pregnancy with a male child being exposed to certain chemicals that impacted that male child's sperm quality when they grew up. So that's what we're chatting about.
I want to ask Laura if you can simplify for me what an endocrine disruptor actually is.
Yeah. So diving right into the topic at hand, we're going to talk about endocrine disrupting chemicals. So what are they? Endocrine disrupting chemicals are hormone disrupting chemicals. And so what these chemicals do, I'm going to talk about a little bit specifics on what these chemicals are. But what these chemicals do is they mimic our hormones. So they basically latch onto our receptors and they make an impact like our natural hormones would, but they make a bigger impact. And so that can be dangerous because when we have these chemicals linking onto our receptors, then our natural hormones are not able to work properly, but it also amplifies the impact. So do you know what I'm talking about when I talk about the specifics of, I'm going to call them EDCs, endocrine disrupting chemicals? Have you ever heard of them? Do you know, now that I've explained kind of what they are, do you know any of them? Or are you kind of like, what is she even talking about?
So I don't know them off the top of my head. Like I wouldn't be able to like tell you the names of them, but I do know that I have in the past and still to this day do my best to avoid like different chemicals in my like lotions and lip chaps and stuff like that.
Yep.
I will be honest, I'm not so great anymore, but I used to be almost all natural with everything.
Yep.
I have switched back to some normal products, but there are some things that I will not, I will always be all natural with.
Yeah. Like non-negotiables, non-negotiables.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I do have a bit of an understanding, but I definitely couldn't look at an ingredient list and be like, that's one, but I could look at an ingredient list and be like, that word is too long. I don't like it.
Right.
That's probably a bad thing.
Yeah. And I think that's a good rule of thumb. I think that you're right. We have to choose non-negotiables because the environment, and when we get really, really knee deep into environmental exposures, it becomes extremely overwhelming. And there's a lot of things like, oh, can't do this, can't do that, avoid this, throw that away, can't buy this, can't buy that. Like we have to create a threshold for ourselves, a level of comfort for ourselves. But one thing that you either, I mean, positive or negative, look at this in any way that you choose, but our exposures are compounded. So meaning the more things that we choose that are not hormone friendly, the more problems we're going to have. So it is important to choose those non-negotiables, the ones that you're like, I never will purchase this unless it's natural or not hormone disrupting. So let's get into what that actually looks like and what this study actually found. So like I said, they looked at the potential impact of endocrine disruptors on semen quality of men whose mothers were working at the early stages of their pregnancy. Now, they showed these men's mothers that were working, they were exposed to a variety of endocrine disrupting chemicals. So I'm talking things like BPA, paraben, phthalates. That's what the chemicals that are known endocrine disruptors. And they found that men who were exposed in utero to products containing endocrine disruptors were twice as likely to have a semen volume and total sperm count below the reference range that the World Health Organization sets out. So
wow,
we know that it has impacts on not only ourselves, but like babies in utero. So when I'm speaking with pregnant women, I'm saying this is so important to limit your exposures, especially in pregnancy. So I'm going to run through what these exposures look like. You already mentioned lotions and creams and things like that, and that is absolutely where we start. So looking at your personal care products to not expose ourselves. So my first thing is plastics. So plastic water bottles, gotta go. This is one conversation, and I'm gonna go ahead and say argument that I have with my mother every single time I am at her house, because she goes, and I'm sure lots of people can relate to this, goes to Costco, buys a pack of water, and keeps the pack of water at her house. And when she drinks water bottles, plastic water bottles, or she'll take the water and dump it into her stainless steel. And I'm like, that makes no sense. Do you have a plastic water bottle?
I have. Okay, so I'm kind of embarrassed now. I'm looking at my cup. I have a plastic Starbucks cup that I use for my water.
Nope, throw it out.
Okay.
Throw it out. People get so mad at me because
I'll throw it out. That's fine.
The first thing I say is,
it means I can go buy something new from Winners.
Yes, exactly. And there are so many places. Like I have right now, I'm looking at a bottle, a stainless steel bottle I bought from Winners. I go and I say, purge your plastics with containers, food containers. I don't care if they say BPA free. A BPA alternative is BPS. BPS has been shown to be just as harmful, if not worse, than BPA. So you're not going to win when it comes to plastics. So I say ditch the plastics as much as possible. That way you're limiting your exposure to hormone disrupting chemicals, and that's in plastic. I think that is the biggest, most impactful thing you can do, is getting rid of your plastics, and even down to your baby bottles. So I know for Leo, my non-negotiable was having him have glass bottles. Is it harder now that he's older and they're a little bit heavy, so he can't hold it himself if he's drinking his bottle at night? But I just have a smaller one. Like I have a big one and a small one, and he can hold the smaller one. But do they break? No, mine are actually pretty good. I have like the Philips Avent ones, but that was my biggest non-negotiable because he's so little. And they did a study and they found that babies had pieces of plastic from their bottles, because think about it, we heat up those baby bottles every single day and multiple times a day. When you have an infant, you're feeding them 5-6 times a day if you're doing bottles. So making sure that those were glass was one of my non-negotiables.
Yeah.
But let's get back to a sperm analysis. So I talked about count, I talked about pieces of the sperm analysis, but let's talk about like what actually goes into a sperm analysis. Do you know?
No, yeah, I wouldn't have any guess. Couldn't even know nothing.
And so I think that's a lot of people don't know. So let's just talk about a semen analysis and why would you have one? So this is mostly in a fertility setting, but the male factor contributes to half of fertility issues. A lot of women assume that it is a female issue when in fact, up to 50% of the time, it is a male issue. So when we're looking at sperm development, it takes about 72 to 76 days for sperm to fully mature. And so when we're actually looking at a semen analysis, we're looking at a number of factors. Now, looking at these factors depends on which lab you're using, but there's a couple of things. So volume is the total amount of semen. Concentration is the number of sperm per mil of semen. Vitality and viability is the percentage of live sperm in the sample. That is important because sometimes they can be all dead in a sample, which obviously not good. Count is the number of sperm in the entire ejaculate. So this is sperm concentration times volume. And then we look at something called motility and morphology. Motility is the ability of the sperm to move, to swim. That is obviously important because when we need a sperm to fertilize an egg, we need it to like beeline it. We don't need it to be going in circles. And progressive motility is the sperm actually moving forward. Now, when we look at endocrine disrupting chemicals, it's been shown in this specific study, it was shown to impact the sperm volume and count. But I'm quite sure that this probably came from some sort of DNA damage. So sperm has something called DNA fragmentation. Now, this is not something that's often tested. Often it'll be tested if you're going to get IVF. It'll definitely be tested. But if you're doing IUI or timed intercourse or any sort of other fertility measures, it's likely not going to be tested. So DNA fragmentation, this measures the DNA within sperm. So this usually happens from environmental exposures, toxins, oxidative stress, endocrine disrupting chemicals are part of that. So that's actually pretty scary because if we're impacting, we have a whole cohort of pregnant women that are exposed to these chemicals, then what's happening to the next generation of men and that sperm quality, which is really scary. So I
just feel, sorry, I'm like processing. I've been like envisioning the sperm dancing. Like science is not my thing, but I'm very interested in just like, yeah, I mean, I guess I didn't think too much into it. Also, I feel like it's so often like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but infertility is so often put on the woman.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, hey, that's not fair. Mm. There's so much more to this.
The amount of times that I see a fertility patient and their partner has been poked and prodded and had blood work and ultrasounds and histosonograms and they've had so many freaking injections and their partner hasn't even had a sperm analysis.
Right.
And it's like,
exactly.
This is something that we need to be starting with. And so we need to, as women now, kind of starting from the beginning, because we're the ones that carry the babies, we need to look at our exposures as women, as pregnant women, as women who want to get pregnant in the future, as women who don't want to have kids. We need to look at our exposures because endocrine disrupting chemicals are cause for concern. Not only have they been linked to poor sperm quality, but they've been linked to cancer, things like endometriosis, things like estrogen dominance. Women who are in perimenopause or menopause have more hot flashes when they're exposed to in these sort of chemicals. So it is really, really scary. So we've talked about products. Now, what are we looking for with products? Like I said, number one, ditch your plastics. That is my first and foremost thing is ditching your plastics. Number two is looking at your personal care products. So you touched on that. I will say my first kind of non-negotiable is deodorant, but I'm going to talk a little bit about what I do and what I prioritize because I will say I'm semi-clean product. Here's why. I look at my non-negotiables in terms of ingredients I know to be extremely harmful, and then I have to balance how the products work with my skin because I think that I have – well, I think. I know I have very sensitive skin, and so not all natural products work well with me. So I'm going to give you an example. Do you use natural deodorant?
I've tried so many times.
Yeah.
I'm a stinky bitch.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah. So these are the things that I come across. So number one, I tried all the deodorants. I ended up, so I'm trying to remember the brands, but like Green Beaver has one. Smith's has one. I've tried them all. All the like aluminum-free natural deodorants, I've tried them all. I tried have you ever heard of the Crystal?
Yeah.
That's my dog. I'm sorry.
Anyway. I didn't hear that, but okay.
The Crystal. So basically it is this like – it's literally a crystal. I don't know what it's made of. I think it's called the Crystal. Anyway, someone correct me if I'm wrong. But basically what you do is you buy this thing. You put a couple drops of water on it and then you rub it on your armpit until it's dry. And it's supposed to neutralize smell. For me, it worked for a little bit. And that's what I find with all of these deodorants. They either don't work at all. Like most of the ones I've tried don't work at all. They're crap. I put them on and by like 10:30 a.m. I stink. And I remember going to school at naturopathic school, like – I don't know. It's more acceptable to be like
everyone probably
naturally stinky. But I get so insecure. Like I would bring my deodorant with me and like put it on in between class because I was like so stressed about it.
But I used to use natural deodorant, but when I had my serious boyfriends, I would always switch to natural deodorant because I'm like, whatever, they love me, it's fine. But when I'm like dating, I can't. Like it's a non-negotiable for me because I'm like, I'm trying to find a husband. I cannot stink.
The pheromones, though.
But once I find a husband, I'll take it right off and I'll stink all the time.
So anyone who's listening, that's what you have to look forward to with Ashley.
If my future husband's listening, I will be stinky.
So that was my problem, is like it smells. So then I came across this cream deodorant. No. So before that, I decided I'm going to make my own deodorant. So I like did that whole thing. Similar how you use reusable pads. I was like, I'm going to make my own deodorant. Like I'm just doing that, right? So I mixed together coconut oil, baking soda, some essential oils. Like I just followed a recipe. And so I noticed after a few days, I had this like really bad rash on my armpit.
I thought. Was it the baking soda?
Yes. So at first, first instinct was maybe I contaminated my – like putting my fingers in every – like maybe it got contaminated. I thought like, oh, it's a bacteria. Like, oh, I should throw this out. So I threw the whole thing out. Then I stumbled across Routine Deodor Cream. Now, I used this for years. I've used this for like 3-4 years. I get it on well.ca. It's like $35 for a jar, but it lasts so long. It'll last you like 6-7 months because you just use a little bit. But then I got a rash from it. So I realized that also had baking soda. So then I had to go to baking soda free. They have a couple that are baking soda free. And they worked quite well. I used it for a few years, but then it just stopped working and it was giving me a rash again, even with baking soda free. So I just said, honestly, I don't even know what to do. But for me, I can't have aluminum in my armpits. Like once you know, you can't unknow. So yeah. For me, I actually found – so no, it is not the cleanest deodorant, but it is aluminum free and it doesn't have parabens. Dove has a 0% aluminum deodorant. And
I think that Secret has one too, don't they know?
Probably, but I use the Dove one and it smells really nice and it doesn't make my armpits have a rash. So that's where like to me it's a non-negotiable to have no aluminum, but unfortunately the natural ones like end up giving me a rash. So yeah. I just can't do it. But if anybody's looking for one that's decent, the 0% aluminum Dove one works all day. Like I never have an issue smell-wise. And it doesn't have aluminum. So that's kind of a happy medium for me. And that's where I'm comfortable. But that's that. And then in terms of my shampoo, I'm going to go ahead and just like call myself out right now. I use like my mother-in-law's a hairdresser and I use professional quality shampoo. Now there's no parabens or crap in it, but like it's not natural. Like I don't.
Yeah. Shampoo's my one big, other than deodorant right now, non-negotiable. I used to use natural shampoo, but I have so much hair.
Yeah, same.
And it's so thick. Yep. It gets so tangled. Yep. And it was never near as shiny. Yep. It was always a headache. Yep. It was just, it, I couldn't do it. So I use good old Pantene.
Yeah. Yeah. I use Joico K-Pak for damaged hair because I bleach my hair. So that's where I'm at. But no, I need to use professional grade shampoo. As long as it doesn't have parabens, again, that's my non-negotiable. If I see methylparaben, I can't unknow that. Like I can't. But,
yes.
But Joico K-Pak, they actually used to have parabens. They don't anymore. So that's what I use. I always have patients ask me like, oh, what do you use for shampoo? I'm like, honestly, Joico K-Pak. So that's that. What I put on my skin, my I buy the Think Baby deodorant. Think Baby sunscreen, I mean, for Leo. So it's a mineral sunscreen, no crap. It's very expensive, but I buy it for him because it's really important to me. Any sunscreens I use, I will not buy the regular sunscreen. That's another thing that I splurge on is sunscreen. And my lotions. My lotions are all like not – my lotions are all natural. Like my face cream and everything are all natural. What about your makeup?
Oh God, don't get me started. Mm-hmm. That's not natural at all.
Mine isn't either.
I need full coverage. I'm very red. I need full coverage. I need, yeah. Like, I just, yeah.
Yeah. So I will say with my makeup, I make sure that there's no, again, obvious offenders, parabens, phthalates, those sorts of things. But I, again, I suffer from acne, so I need full coverage. I've had a lot of people try to sell Beauty Counter to me, which I'm sure it's lovely, but I've tried a bunch of natural makeups and they either don't match my skin. They don't sit right. They don't cover. Like I need something that's full coverage. I do read the ingredients. I will say that there are certain products, that like e.l.f., you know, the brand e.l.f. Yep. I was going to buy one, I don't know, something, a mascara or something. And they have full on parabens in their products. Like there's methyl paraben, ethyl paraben, all the parabens in their products. So I will not purchase them again because I know that, or I didn't purchase it. I read the back first. So when I read the back, I scan and just see if there's parabens or phthalates. The one thing that's hard is a lot of these chemicals can hide under the word fragrance.
Right. So I hate fragrance.
So that's the one thing that's difficult to navigate. I know a lot of these products out there will say like natural and all the things, but then they will say fragrant. So that makes it really, really difficult. I also will say that I've never seen somebody who recommends I use natural makeup has flawless skin. Like I've never seen someone with acne be like, you should use natural makeup.
Yeah, seriously.
So until I see it, probably not going to switch. But like I said, my non-negotiables are getting rid of plastics, making sure there's no parabens. I don't use aluminum. My sunscreen for me is a non-negotiable in terms of environmental exposures. I'm trying to think of – oh, and research has actually shown that this is really, really pertinent in these times. Thermal receipts that you get from – I don't know, convenience store, Metro, Costco, like, really? Like receipts. They have BPA in them. A lot of people don't realize that. So tip, I don't take receipts. As much as possible, I don't take receipts. And if I do, I literally open the bag and have them put it in the bag. And I've done that for a really long time. And there was a study that showed that after you hand sanitize, the BPA from that thermal receipt is actually absorbed. I think the study said something like 300-fold.
Wow.
Yeah. So that is a big, 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 big thing. And I want to really, really say that for anyone who works in an industry that they're ripping receipts all day, if you're a server, if you work at a store where you're ripping receipts, I would recommend wearing a glove on that hand.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it is significant, and especially now in pandemic times where we are constantly touching receipts, constantly sanitizing and then touching receipts, it's a big deal. So that's one way we can really limit our exposures. And cans, did you know cans have BPA in the lining?
I had no idea.
Yeah, so again, another non-negotiable of mine is cans. I go to Costco. Costco actually has a lot of really good products by Sprague, Sprague. They have organic soups. They have chickpeas. They have black beans. They're all in BPA-free cans. Huh. So you can actually...
What about like drinking cans?
You know what? I don't know. That's a really good question because I know that the lining in cans, like when we're storing canned goods, they line it with BPA. And I'm not sure why. I wish I knew the answer to that. I don't know if it's like a to keep it like fresh for longer. I don't know. But I don't think drinking cans are included in that because I could be wrong, but I don't think so. Just because of the actual structure of the can. So I know canned goods typically have BPA in the lining. So when I'm buying like my black beans, my chickpeas, my soups, that sort of thing, I make sure that it's BPA-free cans. Because again, if we're using canned beans and things like that quite often, we are having more exposures. Especially, again, I give it to Leo and he's so young. I don't want to expose him to BPA if I don't have to.
Right. Absolutely. Makes complete sense.
So that's another thing. So cans, things that we don't think about, and paint. You know the amount of people that store paint in their basement, in their house?
I think I have some under my kitchen sink.
Yeah. Get rid of it. Put it outside. Okay. Having paint in the home, like, it freaks me out to think about that, to think about the exposures. The other thing that a lot of people don't really think about, two things actually, candles, Glade plugins or other fragrance like Febreze, things like floor cleaners, I am super anal about because my son crawls all over the ground.
Yeah.
And car air fresheners. I went through a phase like 6 years ago where I just like banished car fresheners. I was like, we're not allowed to use them. And everyone I know and love was not allowed to use them.
Yeah. Everyone in my life knows that no scented candles,
yeah,
no scented like sprays,
yeah,
no plugins, nothing.
Literally, when we go to like my father-in-law's house, I walk around and blow out candles.
Yeah, when I come places, people know to put their candles away.
Yeah, because you're literally breathing in formaldehyde. Like, that's what you're doing. So.
Perfect. Great. Awesome. Love it.
If you're looking for a candle, though, we're looking for a lead-free wick, and you're looking for a soy candle or a beeswax candle. Beeswax actually cleans the air.
I love beeswax candles. Not only do they smell incredible, but usually they're made locally, which
I love a good beeswax candle. My mom lives out in Cambridge, and they always have really good handmade St. Jacob's always has really good handmade stuff like that. The candles, soy candles, they get like a really nice maple syrup. They get like, it's so nice. St. Jacob's is a good place to go for that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's really, we really have to open our eyes and realize the types of exposures that can impact. And we see these impacts not only on you and on your hormonal health, but we see this multi-generational now. Like, we're impacting the sperm of our unborn babies, which is crazy.
Yeah. Who knew? Oh my goodness. That's insane.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's nothing you can do if you're a man and you already were exposed to these sorts of things in utero, but how do we impact our sperm quality now? Let's talk about some really tangible things that we can do. Number one is making sure that you have a really high antioxidant capacity. So what I mean by that, if you smoke, including marijuana, stop. Because that's creating more and more oxidative stress. Don't expose yourself to secondhand smoke. Don't expose yourself to any sort of fumes if you are like in a group of people smoking. If you like, you really need to be careful about that oxidative stress because that is going to damage your sperm. Number two is making sure that you're taking antioxidants that are appropriate for you. So a lot of my fertility patients, I'm supplementing them with things like vitamin E and C and CoQ10 and everything that's going to help that. So we need to increase our antioxidant capacity. So doing that, lots of fruits and vegetables, our greens, adding in a greens powder is a really good way to add in antioxidants. Making sure your detoxification pathways are working really well. What does that mean? Are you pooping every single day? If you're not, that's a problem, right? So we need to make sure everything in our body is moving. And there is always a talk about like, oh, detoxes are a scam and our body detoxifies every single day. Yes, that's true. But we are exposed to more chemicals than we ever have been. And on top of that, my patients test their genetics all the time on things like 23andMe. And some people actually lack specific enzymes to move their detox processes naturally as fast as they should move. And so some patients, I need to give extra things like N-acetylcysteine or glutathione to actually move those antioxidant processes like a normal person would because they're lacking an enzyme. So I think making sure that those things move is really, really important. Making sure you're drinking enough water, making sure you're mixing in foods high in zinc. So things like pumpkin seeds are really good because zinc is good for sperm quality. So making sure that you are avoiding a lot of the things that we're talking about. If you are pregnant, you are avoiding these things like the plague, avoiding all the plastics, going BPA-free with cans. Again, we have to choose our non-negotiables. So like I said, I've listed mine. Ashley, you've listed yours. But really deciding, really understanding that we can't do everything, but we can make a big impact by lessening those compounded exposures.
Well, I feel like I have been pleasantly bombarded with information to consider.
Environmental conversations are always tough because it makes you feel – it gives me the same feeling I have when people talk about the oceans and the health of the oceans. And
yeah, I'm like, I need to do so much, yes, but like I can't do it all. Yes.
And then you get into this paralysis, right? So I want you to do – and while we're talking about the oceans, stopping using plastic will be helpful for them as well.
Okay, I'll throw out my Starbucks cup today.
Unless you've seen Seaspiracy, in which case the plastic – won't help. But anyways, moving forward, I want you to take these tangible things and use them in your life. Stop the exposures today. I would say the first thing you can do today is ditch the plastics.
Cool. I'll do it.
All right.
I can do that.
Excellent. Any last words?
Well, thank you, Laura. That was so informational. I feel like I have lots to think about. I feel like my future husband is in for a sperm analysis as soon as he comes into my life.
Hi, nice to meet you. Can you do a sperm analysis?
Hi, nice to meet you. How do your sperms swim?
Hi, nice to meet you. What was your mom exposed to while she was pregnant with you?
Anyways, thank you so much for listening, all. And if you have, of course, any questions, please feel free to reach out. Don't reach out to me about these things. Reach out to Laura because I won't be any help. But all mental health related questions you can throw my way.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.